Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So our reading this afternoon comes from Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That's an encouraging reading, isn't it? Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you that there is encouragement. There is faith that comes by hearing and hearing your word. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that as we hear your word today and we hear from you, Lord, that you would help me to move out of the way so that we'd hear directly from heaven, from a Father that loves us and that has called us to steward well what you've given us. So, Lord, we give you this day. We give you this message. Lord, we pray that it will penetrate our hearts so that we will walk in your ways, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Say hi to 3 people around you before you take a seat. So good to see you all here. For those of you I haven't met yet, my name is Nelly, and I'm really blessed to be here today. I'm one of the pastors here at Every Nation Brisbane. We have 2 locations, one in Central in Kōpiru, and this one here in Logan. And I'm really blessed to acknowledge the birthday of our lead pastor, Henry. Man, happy birthday. Happy birthday, my friend. We're in the series called Right on the Money. And for those of you who are new here, you picked the right Sunday to come. You know, like, because often at times, you know, we find that talking about money can be awkward in churches. But look, if it's so inextricably linked to our hearts, then we need to talk about it because our hearts do belong to God, right? And so as we're talking about money, we're looking specifically at what Jesus has to say about money because he talks quite a lot about money. And we're going to be looking at the topic today of stewardship. And as we talk about it, I began to think about this question as well. Have you ever had something and you've let someone borrow it, and when they've returned it to you, it was in worse condition from when they borrowed it? Any of you ever had that happen to you? Some hands just shot up really quickly. A prime case would be, for those of you who own your own vehicle, how many of you own a car or, yep, all right. And then you let somebody borrow your car. Any of you been there? Like you had gas when you lent it, and your car was relatively clean, but then when it was returned to you, it came back with E for enough, and it was a mess, you know, pizza boxes in the back and that sort of stuff. How many of you have been in that situation where your car was returned to you not in the same condition? Now, let me ask you, right, because a few hands went up on that response. What was your thought, right? Like, if that person was to come and ask me for my car again, how many of you would say, heck no, right? Ride your bike, right? Like, I think of I've shared this example here at Logan before, but I thought it warranted sharing again. As you can see, I like wearing denim, and this has been going on for a long time, right? And so it was interesting. Like when I was at university, speaking about university ministry, there was a time where we get a student allowance, right? But because of my application, what took so long to process, this is when I was back in New Zealand at the University of Auckland, my application took so long to process that by the time it came, like usually you start your university year in March or the end of February, but I didn't start receiving my student allowance until August. And so I had all this back payment come at once in August. And it was, you know, as a young student at the time, I was like 17, 18 years old and at uni. And then I remember seeing this money drop into my account, thinking, oh, wow, this is amazing. Should I tell my dad? No, I told him after. But for those of you who know Auckland or grew up in Auckland, there's this street called High Street. It runs parallel to Queen Street. And on High Street, I'd always go and dream about what I could afford on High Street, because that's where a lot of the local top designers, their stores would be, right? Their showrooms and stores. And there was this one place that had denim. And I know my brother Henry and my sister Easter know about this store. It's called Workshop. Right, and this is back in the day, and Workshop had this store right there on High Street, and I remember always looking at this denim jacket. And back then, okay, it's the 90s, right? So the denim jacket came down to about here, and it had four pockets, so it was like a prison style jacket. But it was cool because I was into a rap group called Naughty by Nature back then, and you know, I would walk around like this, jump, the Mac Daddy, you know, like that. That was me back then, right? Okay, your pastor has a past. And anyway, I bought the jacket. Like, let's not talk about how much it was. It was a very unwise purchase for a student, but it was a lot of the money that was from my allowance, right? And so I bought this jacket, and I was wearing it around for the first couple of weeks around campus thinking I was the bomb, you know? Anyway, I had this cousin from Samoa that came over one of those weekends. He said, Gus, I'm going out tonight. Can I borrow your jacket? Please. Come on. And, you know, I was like, this took me a long time to get this jacket. Anyway, long story short, you say long story short, the story's already long, Nelly. Like, he took the jacket out, came back, and there was like smoke, cigarette burns in the jacket. Oh, I was just so, But what was funny was, I won't say his name, because he's related to Livy as well. I'm just kidding. But his name is quite long in Samoan. Let's just say it that way, because I won't say it because he may be watching. But it's quite long. But, you know, it's one of those names where, you know, like, what's your name? Say the name. Huh? Huh? It's John. Just, you know, like. And so anyway, in the pocket of the jacket, I found all these little cards with his number and John written on them, still in the jacket. And so I was, not only did he wear the jacket, but he was also using it as tools for his, let's just keep it in the spirit because we're in church. But I remember after that, I was like, man, it stunk of smoke, you know, and it obviously had those, and I was like thinking in my mind, again, I'm not a perfect Christian, right? And back then, I wasn't even a Christian back then, but like I was just thinking, I'm never going to let him borrow anything of mine again. But I've thought about it too, because there's been times that I've lent things out to people and they've actually come back in better condition than when I lent them. There's been times that people have borrowed my vehicle And maybe when I lent it to them, it was like half full or three quarters full on the gas tank. And they filled it up and they washed it and cleaned it and detailed it, came back, you know, a couple of bags of groceries in the back, in the back there. And, you know, like when people like that borrow your vehicle, how many are like, man, you can borrow my car anytime. Do you want to borrow it on Tuesday? Because that's usually when I run out of gas, right? But if that happened, would you lend to that person again? You know, if they stewarded it well, would you lend to that person again? I began to think about everything that we have in this life, right? How many of you would agree that everything in this life belongs to God, right? Because there's two schools of thought for people that are in this room. There's those of you who actually believe that he owns everything. And then there's those of us who don't, who believe that we own everything. Now, both are kind of true, but there's a difference between owning something, recognizing that you take ownership in order to steward it well, and then there's ownership as if it's yours and it belongs solely to you. Does it not belong to anybody else? I'm reminded in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, and it says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So if all things belong to him, how much does that leave for you? Simple maths equation. How much does that leave for you? It's not a trick question. Nothing. Chinese, mayo. Tagalog, wala. Yaisimea, nothing, right? Nothing belongs to you. So therefore, anything that we have, we are called to steward. Now, what is stewardship? Stewardship is described in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary as the careful and responsible management of something that's been entrusted to one's care. Let me say that one more time for those of you who are taking notes. The careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Now, I think about when we were first created. Humanity was first created, right? There's the 7-day period of this creation. And on the 6th day, after creating everything that's there, he creates humanity. He creates male and female. And it's interesting that when he creates humanity, he immediately says this: "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves over the earth." So it's interesting. This is what's interesting, right? Is that the moment that God creates male and female, he immediately gives them a commission. And that commission is to steward the resources of the earth. So there is a purpose. And that purpose is stewardship and enjoyment. This is what worship is. When the early reformers in Westminster were trying to come up with the reason why we were even born, they came up with this summary. The reason why humanity exists is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The reason why you are on this planet is to glorify God in your stewardship of everything that you have and to enjoy him forever. And I begin to wonder why so many Christians don't look like they're enjoying their Christianity. There could be a possibility that maybe you think you own things that you're supposed to be stewarding, right? Because if it really belonged to him, it's not your worries. See, stewardship is to be enjoyed. And the reason why the Sabbath exists on the 7th day is not because God needed rest, because how many of you know theologically, God is omnipotent, meaning he's all powerful. And so because he's all powerful, it's not like he ran out of breath. He's like, oh man, you know what? Creating this universe is so exhausting. I need a break. No, how many of you know God doesn't need a break? But the apex of his creation was us. In the scope of everything that's in the universe. How many of you have seen those recent images from the Webb telescope that have come out in the media over the last week or so? Some of the most beautiful images of parts of the universe that has not been seen to the naked eye. And the photography has come back. It's just amazing. And it's funny how some of these astronomers are actually atheists, but come back with adjectives like, wow, it's awesome. It's they're full of awe. I'm like, why are you full of awe at something that is just simply lucky collision of molecules if there is no God? How many of you know when you look at the vastness of his creation, just being here in Queensland, how many of you have gone on walks and hikes in our own state and seen how beautiful this state is? That's just here. But when you look at the beauty of his creation, it draws an awe from your spirit, right? That's the enjoyment, is that God has created this for you to enjoy, to steward well the resources of the earth, including and especially your finances. So let's move back to this parable that Henry read earlier. And this is from Matthew chapter 25. If you have your Bible, you can go there and follow me. If you don't trust me, just kidding. Anyway, in verse 14, it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away." Some of us might think, wow, that's favoritism. How come he gave 1 5 and 1 2 and 1 1? No, notice that phrase, in accordance with their ability. Because to give 5 to the one that had 2 would have been too much for him. There's a certain capacity, and God knows your capacity, and he gives in accordance with your capacity. That's important. Now, when we look at this, we see the unit that is used as the talent. And this talent is not talking about your singing talent, you know, the talent shows that you would enter, right? This is not talking about your rugby league talent or, you know, your talent for being able to dance or whatever. This is not that sort of talent. The talent that's talked about here is actually with regards to money. It's a unit of finance. It's like your dollar, okay? And so a talent here is financial. But if we're talking about stewardship, we can talk about anything that God has called us to steward. But today I want to focus specifically on finances, and then we can pull out a little bit more and look at the way God's called us to steward everything. So let's move on. In verse 16, it says, "He who had received the 5 talents went at once." Everybody say, "Went at once." "Went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more." Let me just say this right from the top. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Let me say that one more time. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And so the man who was entrusted with 5 went at once. He went right away. He said, you know, without hesitation, I know the reason why I was born. I know the reason why this 5 was given to me is to steward well. And so I will steward these things well. So he took the 5 talents and went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And so also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. Let me just say this. The guy with the 2 talents is my hero in this story. And I'll tell you why. Because never at one point do you hear of him comparing himself to the dude who had 5. It's like, how come I only got 2? But he's faithful with what he has. He's not pressured to produce 5 with his 2. He's just faithful to produce within the capacity that God has given him. Don't base the measure of your Christianity being walked out successfully on how the progress is with other people. Focus on your journey and how God has called you to be faithful with what he's put in your hands. Because there's a security in that. And that's why I really feel like this dude with the 2 must have been so secure. He's like, this is what God has given me? I'm going to be faithful with these 2. And sure enough, he was. But then there was this guy. He who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Dad, I dug a hole. It's filling with water. So he digs and he puts his talent in the ground. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. How many of you are seeing a similarity to our own journey? That we too have a master who has given us talents to steward, and he's coming back to settle accounts with us one day. And he comes to settle accounts. And then in verse 20, and he who had five talents came forward, bringing the five talents more. And he said, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I have made five talents more. And then the master says to him, well done. What does he say? Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. And enter into the joy of your master. And he also went with the who had two talents, came forward saying, Master, you have delivered to me two talents. Here, I have made two talents more. What does he say? His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. There's so much in that verse right here. So much. Let's unpack it a little bit. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, how many of you know that we are not good on our own merit? The only reason why they can claim to be good is because of the finished work of the master in their lives that they can now enter into being called good. Faithful, in today's vernacular, because we barely hear outside of church circles, we barely hear of this term faithful being attributed to anybody outside of church circles. But if we were to talk about faithfulness today, we would describe it as consistent, consistently showing up and going to work. Consistency. Let me ask you this question. When people think about your name, do they think about how consistent you are? When they think about you giving your word, are you consistent? Because consistency can also be described to integrity. It comes from the root word integer, which is one, meaning that the same person, the same one that you are with this person, you will be with that person. The same one that you are around other Christians on Sunday in a gathering like this will be the same person you are on Saturday night and Friday night. There's an integer. There's a faithfulness. How many of you know that if we are created in his image, he is good and faithful? And we serve a God who is always consistent in keeping his every promise. And if we are made in his image for his glory, how many of you know we are called to also be good and faithful in our servitude towards humanity? Are we good and faithful? We can't be good and faithful on our own merit. That's why we lean on the grace of God. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I'll set you over much. Many of you have heard me use this example before, and I'm going to use it again here today just to remind us there is a biblical principle of being faithful in small things. F-I-S-T, faithful in small things. Hold your fist up real quick. This is your reminder to be faithful in small things. And anytime you forget, just go ahead and knock on the door and remind yourself, oh, I forgot. That's right. I'm supposed to be faithful in small things. Because the tendency can be, right? We want to jump to step C and we haven't been faithful in A and B. Faithful with what's in our hands. Are you faithfully doing what you're supposed to be doing on a daily basis? Many of us want to look like The Rock. And the brothers too. Maybe of us want to look like The Rock, right? Want to look like Dwayne Johnson. One day I'm going to look like Dwayne Johnson. But we struggle to get past the buffet line, you know? And we think that one day, by the miracle of God, that will just, you know, will just wake up and all of a sudden be like that movie Freaky Friday where you wake up and you're in somebody else's body. Wow, praise Jesus. Eyebrow and all. I can't even do the eyebrow. But how many of you know it doesn't work that way? There's a consistency that needs to happen. And even more so in the spirit, but on all aspects, many of us look for the quick way to get finances and money. We don't want what's right. We want what's right now. And so rather than being consistent, we'd much rather, just to keep up appearances, put ourselves in positions that actually become forms of enslavement to us through things like debt and taking out loans for things we know we cannot afford. Look, there's no condemnation for anybody that's in that predicament. I just want to say that. I'm not judging anybody, but I'm here to tell you there's a better way. There's a much better way. And so being faithful with the little that you have. But Pastor Nelly, you don't know how little my little is. So little, even sometimes I can't see it. But be faithful with it. Oh, Pastor Nelly, one day, you know, when I make $1 million, I will tithe. Be faithful with your $10. Just be faithful with it. Everybody do this really quickly. Go into your handbag or your back pocket or whatever and pull out your wallet. Okay, if you don't have your wallet here, if everything's digital, pull out your iPhone or your insignificant other brand phone. Just pull it out real quick because he was mocking earlier. He was mocking iPhones earlier. Just whatever calculator you have other than an iPhone, pull it out real quick. But if you have, just kidding. But pull out your wallet real quick and hold it up real quick. Just hold it up at me. And those of you who are watching at home, pull out your wallet. Yeah, I said it. Pull out your wallet and hold it up. If you can't see me, yeah, I can. Hold it up. Let me ask you this question. Look at it real quick. Look at your wallet and ask yourself this question. Who does this belong to? Does it really belong to God? Because this is what this is putting into question, right? Does this honestly belong to God or does it belong to us? Do we think we can do better with our finances than God can, the creator of the universe? When we are faithful to acknowledge that he is Lord, Master, King, the one who calls the shots over our finances, this is where the invitation comes in. And notice this, right? That the men that were given the resources and were faithful, they did not get to keep the double. Did you read that? What was the thing that they were given? They were given the joy of the master. But many of us, even in church, would rather have the double. It's like, forget your joy, master. I don't want to enter into the joy of the master. I want to enter into that double portion. Like, give me the double portion. These are the types of people that would rather have heaven without Jesus. We just want the rewards. We just want the blessing. But guess what? You will always be wanting. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. The Living Translation says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And he's calling us to enter into his joy. This differs from happiness, which is dependent on happenings. Joy is resonant that no matter what you're going through, you are fulfilled. The Hebrew word shalom, right, is fulfillment, nothing lacking. You are complete in him. That's not Tom Cruise on Jerry Maguire, you complete me, or mini me on Austin Powers. That's not any of that. We are completed in the joy of the master, and that's what he invites us into, right? He says, you know what? You've been faithful. You've been good. Come, enter into the joy of your master. Who is your master? Who is the master of that wallet that you pulled out? Who is the master of your finances? Who is the master of your crypto profile right now? You know, the one that's diving right now, doing triple somersaults like Greg Louganis back in the day. Like, that's where our profiles are, right? We trust in a God who's far supreme than any stock market, any crypto market, any resale value on our real estate, all of that. Our God has a joy that supersedes any market indicators. He promises us fulfillment in every aspect. You never have to upgrade your Jesus. You never have to upgrade your Jesus, right? And it's funny how we bring this upgrade mentality into relationships and friendships. Like, we liked him because he had green eyes and a nice smile. Then we got close to him and saw that he was broke as a joke. So you feel like you have to upgrade your green eyes to another model, right? Come on. You'll never be satisfied. You will never be fulfilled apart from understanding who the master is. Who is your master? I feel for this guy. Because, you know, like, if you know dad jokes that have stories, right? It's always the third guy who's the punchline, right? But this guy is not a good punchline to any joke. This third guy. Let's look at his story. He also had received the one talent and came forward saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." Now, it's interesting here, right? I know I've been saying it's interesting. The whole thing is interesting. The reason why I bring this up is because if we look at this part of the scripture, you can see his understanding of who the master is one who condemns and one who's like the dude that stands over ants and just goes, "Ha, I don't like you," and stomps on the ants. You know, like, that's his picture of God. And therefore, he's fearful and not a righteous way. And so, therefore, he takes the resource and just casts it into the ground. Now, there's two things to note here. He takes the little that he has and invests it in the earth. What's another word for earth? The world. He puts it in the world. And he says, "I'm afraid that you may not exist," or "I'm afraid because you know, the pictures of that I have of you in my mind is that you're going to condemn me. So you know what? I'm going to pretend like you don't exist, and I'm just going to put my money into the world." See, his theology dictates his stewardship. See, the other two understood that the master's mastery towards them was calling them towards goodness and faithfulness, whereas this guy was intimidated by a picture of condemnation. But how many of you know Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." That is not an accurate picture of who God is. And so there's this fear that comes on him that is unrighteous and unfounded in scripture. And therefore he takes the money and is scared and therefore invests it into the things of this world. He puts it in the ground. He puts it in the earth. He puts it in the world. But notice, when God comes on the scene, when the master comes on the scene, how does he respond? And you'll notice a familiarity here, right? In verse 25, "I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground." How many of you can understand that language, where that's come from before? "I was afraid and so I hid." Sound familiar? Try Genesis chapter 3. When Eve partakes of the fruit, hands it to her knuckleheaded husband who's right there alongside her. "I don't know. Oh, yeah, I'll try it." And then in the cool of the day, when they recognize that they're in sin, they go and put together fig leaves and walk around in their Versace fig leaves trying to cover up. And all throughout history, humanity has been trying to work up its righteousness with all of these fig leaves. The fig leaf of your job, the fig leaf of your family, the fig leaf of your investments, and all trying to cover up the fact that we are sinners. And so in the cool of the day, as the master comes in, again, he comes to meet them in relationship, in enjoyment, to see how they're stewarding the job. Because guess what? In the chapters before that, how many of you know, like, they were working. Working is not condemnation. It's actually an opportunity to worship. The first job that Adam had was a zoologist, right? He was naming animals. Looks like a giraffe. Looks like a lion, roar, yeah, I got you. Like, he's naming the animals and he's a zoologist. That's his job. And so he has work before the fall, but he sees his work as stewardship and worship, just like the first two guys. It's like the way that I utilize what you've given me, God, I will worship you with it. It's not TGIF because we couldn't stand what we were walking through on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. When's the last time you said TGIM? Thank God it's Monday. It's more like, oh God, it's Monday, right? But if you look at your work as worship and not toil, because it became toil after the fall, that's when you begin to understand, wow, my work is worship. My stewardship of this job and the finances that I get from this job are all worship to the one who gave it to me in the first place. I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here's what's yours. See, Adam and Eve, when they were confronted by God in the garden in the cool of the day, God says to Adam, where are you? And again, it's not like God doesn't know where he is. Not only is he omnipotent, but he's omniscient. He knows everything. He doesn't need a GPS to try and figure it out, right? Find my iPhone, find my Adam. Like he doesn't need any technology to find. He knows where he is, but he wanted Adam to recognize where he was. And what does Adam say? I was afraid because I'm naked, and so I hid. And so what you're seeing here is the same response. I was afraid, and so I hid because I took what you have and put it into the ground. Put it into worldly affairs. And in verse 26, his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. I'm not judging anybody here. This is the words of the master, right? This is what he is saying. You wicked and slothful. Other versions say you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and you gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. Just chuck it in Combank or whatever, you know, Westpac, just chuck it in there. Like, if you were not going to be faithful with it, just put it in a place where it will increase in value. And so he carries on. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, will more be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. Many of us in this new millennium will be like, oh God, that's a bit rough, calling him worthless. I'll explain this in a second why that's a specific adjective that he describes the servant. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because again, he chooses not to take the resources as if they belong to the master, but chooses to invest them as if they're his own. You see, when we think about the word worship comes from the old English word worthship. Because in our stewardship, we give him what he's worth. And so when we don't give him what he's worth, it is worthless. And so he is therefore described as worthless because he is not worshiping or giving the worship to God. And therefore what he brings is worthless. And that's why he is described here as worthless. This is the challenge for us today. When we look at our finances in particular, we look at the three ways that we can expend our finances on a regular basis. They fall into three categories, right? We give, we save, and we spend. We give, we save, and we spend. But how many of you know you can do these three things in terms of stewardship, but do them without God? You know, you can give merely to save face so that other people can see how good you are, right? Or you can give because you recognize that God has called you to steward and give in accordance with the leading of his Holy Spirit. You can save in accordance with the way he's called you to steward finances. When I think about how God is a generational God, you can save in order that the next generation will be in a better place to advance the kingdom of God. But everything is shaped around his kingdom, right? You can also spend in the same way. I think this is a great principle to teach our children. Like, grab some jars and color them up and say, hey, you know what? When you do work around the house or whatever it might be, you can put some in the giving jar, teach them about tithing and offering, and then saving here so you can save for whatever you really want to buy later on. Teaching them these habits so that they learn stewardship, financial stewardship, from an early stage in their lives. But teaching our kids to look at their money through eternal eyes. Like Ephesians 2 says, we are seated with him in heavenly places, giving us a heavenly perspective of our finances. But remember, all of our finances belong to God, right? So give as unto the Lord. Let me ask you, do you give towards the causes of the kingdom? And if you are a follower of Jesus, do we obey him in our giving, knowing that all of our money belongs to him, right? When it comes to saving, do we save towards kingdom impact? Do we teach our children not just to idolize money, but to steward the finances well? And then lastly, spending. Does our spending glorify God in the way that we steward our spending? So I've got a couple of questions here. I'm going to ask them, and then I'm going to hand this over to Pastor Henry. The question I ask you is, does your money belong to God? Does it belong to you, or does it belong to God and you are stewarding it? Are you stewarding the money that God has blessed you with in a way that honors him in your giving, saving, and your spending? So this is what I hand to you. Everything in life is an opportunity for stewardship. Everything in your life is an opportunity for stewardship. How will you steward what God has blessed you with today? Come on up, Pastor Henry.
Thank you, Pastor Nelly. What a great word, eh? Great word. You know, when we think about it, yes, how we steward our finances is so important. But, you know, I know Pastor Nelly was hinting in this as we're going through the message, right? It's not just about our finances. Finances is one component of our life, right? One part of our life. I want you to do something, okay? I want everyone to breathe in. Go breathe in, take a big breath. And then exhale. That was the life, the living breath of life given to us. Given to us, okay? Now I want you to just touch your skin. Push on your skin. Push on your body. It's real, right? You feel it, right? It's there. You know it's real, right? That body was given to us by the living God. And so I want us to think about this. Our finances, you know, having this, thinking about this approach of like, if everything's been given to us by God, these very bodies that we're walking and living and breathing in have been given by God. And so what am I doing with it? How am I stewarding my very life? So that's the challenge for us. This is the challenge that I want each and every one of us to think about. How am I stewarding my life? And I'm asking myself this question. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself as well. How am I stewarding my life? Do I walk out this door and then I just forget about everything that's been taught in this place and I just go out and you know, someone cuts me off and, oh, you error! You know? How am I stewarding my life? So I want to encourage us today. What a great question. Are you stewarding the money that God has blessed you with in the way that honors him and in your giving, saving, and spending? Are you stewarding your very life in that same manner? Our lives are a testimony of the goodness of God. We sang about it at the beginning, right? So our lives, our very lives that we have. How can we steward them well? Well, let me start off with this. And start off with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the foundation in which we need to build from, is that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. Beginning with that foundation. And so I want to challenge each and every one of us. If you've been in the Lord for 20 years or just you don't even know who this God is, I want to challenge you with this question. Where is God in your life? And I want to give you an invitation of, would you like to get to know Jesus today? Because for me, I have experienced and walked through the goodness and grace of God for the last, I accepted Jesus in 1998. Yeah, some of you guys weren't even born, right? 1998. And it was because I came to this point. I was in this room, and it was a men's gathering, and I heard the speaker say that you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Because I thought, my impression was, oh, I'm a good guy. I don't smoke, do drugs. I don't do all that bad stuff that those other bad people do. No. But that's not enough. That's not even close to enough. It has to start with a personal relationship with Jesus. And so I want to give you an invitation right where you are. If you want to start this journey of stewarding your life, stewarding this precious gift that God has given to each and every one of us, then I want to give you that opportunity to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And so with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to keep this between you and God. If you're sitting here tonight and there's this quickening, or there's something in you, there's a stirring inside of you, because you know something's not right in your life. Maybe you know that there's something not right in your finances. Maybe you know that there's something not right in the relationship you're at. Maybe you know there's something that's not right in your personal conduct and how you are as a person. But I want to give you an invitation right now to, if you would like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you could just wave your hand at me, and then I would love to pray with you. There's nothing magic about it. It's just you declaring that Jesus is Lord of your life, and that seals it. You declaring with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And that's the start of stewarding your life. Because people are going to come around you. This church family is going to come around you and begin to walk with you through this. It's not just a one-off prayer that you're going to pray and you think, oh yeah, it's going to be all good. No, there's going to be some challenges along the way. And you've got to have a support system. You've got to have people around you that you're going to be able to stand with and walk with through these challenges. And I am confident that we here at Every Nation Logan want to be a family to you and walk with you through that. And so if that is you, that you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you can just wave your hand at me, every eye closed, every head bowed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. I thank you for every person that is in this place, that is watching online, wherever you know us, Lord God. You see us. And so I thank you, Father God, for bringing us to this moment, Lord. Thank you for revealing to us in this time. This is not by coincidence. This is by your plan that we are here today to hear this message. And so, Father, we thank you that you are Lord of our lives. And we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and your goodness. And we pray, Father God, that as we surrender our lives, every area of our lives to you, even our finances, Lord God, even our wallets, we will surrender our whole life to you, Lord God, that you would have your way, that you would begin to do a transformation, a change in each of our hearts, and begin to use us for your glory, Lord God, for your glory. And so, Father, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. So I want to give you, we'll take a couple of minutes to go through the discussion questions. Is that all right? So we've got the discussion questions up there. And so if you're sitting out there and there's something specific to your finances or there's something specific in your life that you want some, you know, some extra prayer with, please come and see myself, Steph, or any of our leaders, any of our worship team up here. We'd love to pray with you. Either come right now or even at the end of service today. Okay? So we'll go 2-3 minutes of discussion and then we'll respond in worship. And so for those that are joining us online, you can jump on the Zoom as well, on the Zoom link, and there'll be some of our team on there as well that will love to discuss and pray with you online as well. So a couple of minutes. We'll see you then.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.